Well, just a couple of more weeks of singing that song, and the year will be over, and it's hard to believe, but we're at the end. In fact, tonight is, we only have one more Wednesday night of regular church services, and then we have Christmas Eve service, and then we have New Year's Eve service. And so this and next Wednesday are our last normal Wednesdays of the year. Psalm 81, and if you have your Bible with you, turn there. And we've been studying through this psalm now for a number of weeks, and I hope that you have been encouraged and strengthened just as I have. I'm so thankful that God has given to us His Word. His Word has been preserved for us. We know that it's profitable for us. And as we've studied through this particular psalm, we've learned many truths with regard to the setting of the psalm and how it would be used by the children of Israel. But of course, being able to make application as we go through the psalm as well. Last week, we studied verses 8 through 10, Psalm 81, verses 8 through 10, last Wednesday evening. And as we studied those few verses of Scripture, we discovered four things. Number one, the Lord instructs. Aren't you thankful that God gives us His instruction? He gives us His Word. We say that the Lord not only instructs, but He warns. And what a blessing to know that the Bible contains instruction for us, but also contains warnings for us. And we do well to take heed to the warnings. It is our benefit. We're thankful that God would give us warnings. And then God reminds us. And what a blessing. He reminded them of who He was and what He did for them. And oftentimes as we read the Scriptures, we're reminded of how wonderful our God is and what a blessing it is to know Him and how He's saved us and how He's made us His own and what a privilege and blessing that is. And then we said this, the Lord satisfies. And I'm so thankful for the truth that He said, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And of course, we understand, he says even at the end of verse number 16, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. And we see that the Lord satisfies. All that thrills my soul is Jesus, is what the songwriter said. And He is more than life to me, amen? And in His presence is fullness of joy. And what a blessing it is to know Him. And we find that God graciously provided His people with this truth, with instruction, and He was faithful to give the Word, and we understand that the Word was available to them. And we saw as we looked at this text of Scripture in verse 8, He says, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel. And He did just that. We talked about the word testify. It means to make a solemn declaration, whether verbal or written, to establish some fact. It was to give testimony for the purpose of communicating to others a knowledge of something that was not known to them. And God did provide them with truth. We're going to look at verses 11 and 12, but before we do, I want to read to you and hold your place there, but read with me. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, if you will, chapter 30. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture here as we get into the message this evening. But we find that God graciously provided His Word, and He desired that His people would hearken unto Him. In Deuteronomy chapter number 30, in verse number 11, notice what the Bible says here in Deuteronomy 30. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Aren't you thankful for that? He said, it is not hidden from thee, nor is it far off. He says in verse 12, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. We find as we look at this passage in Deuteronomy 30, as the people of God are preparing to enter into the land of promise, that God is pleading with his people to hear and receive the instruction, to hearken. He says in verse number 17, but if thine heart turn away, notice, so that thou wilt not hear. And we come to Psalm 81, and as we continue studying through this portion of Scripture, and this evening as we examine verses 11 and 12, we discover that the Bible tells us that God's people hearkened not. In fact, as you read verse number 11 in Psalm 81, it is a sad verse, a sad commentary with regard to the heart of the people of God. Notice with me in Psalm 81, verse number 11, the Bible says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Aren't those some sad verses of Scripture? God provided for them everything that they needed. God gave to them all of the instruction, all of the warning. He gave them everything that they would need, and he was desirous that they would hearken. He said in verse number 8, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me in this evening. But my people, verse 11, would not hearken to my voice. I've titled the message this evening simply this: they hearkened not. They hearkened not. The word hearken, we reviewed this last week, but it means to attend or to regard, to give heed to what is uttered, to observe or to obey. As we look at these two verses of Scripture, it's important that we note, first of all, as we look here at verse number 11, the Bible says, but my people. I want you to focus on that with me just for a moment this evening, because God said to them in verse number 10, I am the Lord thy God. And we mentioned last week the blessed reminder that God gave to them in verse number 10 of who he was to them. And then as he continues in verse number 10, what he did for them. And we're reminded this evening that he is the Lord our God. And in verse number 11, he says, but my people would not hearken to my voice. And when I think about the statement when he says my people, God is not talking about the Gentile nations. God is not speaking about those other people groups of the world. He says, my people. And I think about the New Testament truth, if we were to make a parallel, if you will, and we were just to look at this verse in verse number 11, it's not that God's talking about lost people would not hearken to him. He's saying, saved people, my children, mine, the ones that I redeemed, the ones that I paid for their sin debt, my people, those that call me Lord and Master, my people, hearken not. They would not hearken to my voice. I think about the truth that there are times in our lives, no doubt you've experienced it just as I have, that we can get bothered or annoyed with the behavior or the belief of lost people. We can see how they behave, we can see how they believe, and we can get annoyed by it, we can get bothered by it. And how can they think that way? How can they? And we understand, God's told us in 1 Corinthians 2 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And so even though we have that verse of Scripture, it doesn't prevent us at all times from getting annoyed at some of the belief and behavior of lost people. But I want you to consider this evening that just as Old Testament Israel, there are times in which we as saved people don't hearken to the voice of God. And he's not talking about the Gentile nations. He's not talking about all these other people groups. He's talking about his people. The ones that he brought out of Egypt, the ones that for all that time while they're in Egypt, they were crying for deliverance and they were overwhelmed with all that they were facing. And we find that God brought them out and God instructed them, but they would not hearken. And so we find this evening that as we consider that he's talking about my people, that we must make, as we've even had really kind of the thought in recent messages of having that own examination of our own lives. How are we responding to what God has given to us in his word? Because he's concerned about us as his people. We notice how God describes the behavior of his people in verse number 11. He says this, "They would not hearken to my voice." It wasn't that they did not have the truth. It was not that they were unaware of what they were supposed to do. It was not that God didn't send prophets, that God didn't have faithful men. It was that they made a decision to not obey the voice of the Lord. And they would not hearken to my voice. Can you imagine the God of the universe, our God, Creator God, He has provided all things for us, and he's given us good instruction, and he sits there and he says, but my people, they would not hearken to my voice. No doubt, if you have children, there have been times in which your children did not hearken to your voice. And as a parent, it bothered you. And you made a decision that you would correct said behavior because they were to hearken to your voice. And even if you don't have children, you can kind of relate to that principle and that application. And we find that throughout the scriptures, the Bible talks about how God deals with us. He chastens us and he desires that we would hearken to his voice. But we notice as we go through the passage this evening that he's not going to force us to. He continues in verse number 11. And notice the phrase at the end of verse number 11. In Israel, would none of me. You know, the idea that really this phrase is carrying is that they wanted nothing to do with God. I think about the truth when Jesus says in the Gospels, "Why callest thou me Lord, but you do not what I say?" And we begin to consider this evening that many times there's this idea, listen, the children of Israel, they wanted deliverance, did they not? I mean, you can go back, we can read, we can take the time to go back to the book of Exodus and we can read of all that they dealt with and all that they were faced with and all the struggles and trials and how they cried out. But they wanted the deliverance, but they did not want to follow the Lord as Lord. And we see sometimes the same thing happening in New Testament Christianity. You find that there's individuals that you can talk to about the Lord and about their need for Christ and salvation. And obviously, there's nothing that we can do to get saved as far as our works are concerned. It's Christ alone. If you try to mingle works with it, that's not true redemption. We're redeemed through the blood of Christ. But how many times you see people and understand, they recognize, I can't, there's nothing I can do about that. I'm going to die and go to hell. I need to be saved. But then you start talking to them about godly living. And all of a sudden, they don't want a master. Somebody said this, too many people today want a savior, but not a master. Can I tell you this evening, I'm thankful that he's my Savior and he's my Master. And by the way, he's a good Master. He's a good Lord. The truth that he gives us, the instruction that he provides us with, it's for our benefit. It's for our good. We do well that we take heed thereunto, according to what he tells us in Psalm 19. And so we find this evening that Israel is in this situation that God says, my people, they would not hearken to my voice. It wasn't that they couldn't. It wasn't that they were unaware of it. We just looked at the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 30. God gave it to them. He set before them the truth, and he gave it to them, and he pleaded with them, but he gave them a choice. And it says that Israel would none of me. They wanted nothing to do with God. I notice as we look at the text of Scripture, the unfortunate consequences, according to verse number 12, the Bible says this in Psalm 81 and verse 12, "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." the consequences, the unfortunate consequences, as we see in verse number 12, we notice that the Bible says, so I gave them up. That's what God says. God's not going to force you to obey Him. He's not going to force you to get saved. He's not going to force you to live for Him. He's just not going to force you to do it. He wants you to. It's best for us. He will send warning. You look at the nation of Israel, if we're to study their history, you can find that He sent prophet after prophet, voice after voice, that would come and give them a message and call them to repentance and call them to obedience and call them to return. God says, return to Me, repeatedly. But He doesn't force them. He doesn't force them. And the same is true for us this evening. He doesn't force us. You came to church tonight because you decided to. You made a choice. You read your Bible today because you decided to. He didn't make you read your Bible. He didn't make you come to church. He's not going to make you give an offering or do, like, it's a choice that we make. But it's in our best interest to abide in Him and to follow His Word. And so the Bible says, so I gave them up. Notice, I mean, just think about the phraseology and consider with me the fact that God, how difficult this passage of Scripture is for us to really just wrap our mind around, that God loved them so much and God gave them all things. He gave them everything that they would need, but they rebelled. They were a stiff-necked people. That's how they're described. God says, I gave them up. I gave them up to what? Notice what it says, unto their own heart's lust. In other words, He let them do what they wanted to do. He let them do what they wanted to do. He says this in verse number 12, and they walked in their own counsels. They didn't take the counsel that God had provided, the all-wise God, the one who created all things, the one that brought them out of Egypt. I mean, think about it. They could not. There was nothing they could do to get out of Egypt themselves. God did for them what they could not do for themselves. And then all of a sudden, we don't need God anymore. We don't want Your instruction. We don't want You to tell us what to do. We don't want to follow Your way. And God gives them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. And we begin to think about the, obviously, the tragic, unfortunate results, and we'll see them next week as we finish out the chapter in verses 13 through 16. But we just pause for a moment this evening, and we begin to look at this, and we understand, listen, God will work, and God does a variety of things to call us back to Himself, save forcing us to. He's given us a free will. He wants us to live for Him. Notice, if you will, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. As we consider these unfortunate consequences, the Bible says that to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. And look in Proverbs 16, if you will. And I want you to notice what the Bible tells us in Proverbs 16 and verse number 25. In fact, why don't we just back up? Look at verse number 2 with me. The Bible says this, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But then notice this, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Notice verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's something that God is able to do. That's a result, a blessing, a miraculous provision that God gives to those that are walking and living in a way that's pleasing God. It says this in verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says that He gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. And we see that here it says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, there are times in which we logically reason and we analyze a situation and we begin to try to reach a conclusion, and maybe based on some factors and whatever the criteria is that we're using to reach our decision. But if we fail to take into consideration the truth of God's Word, we're going down a bad path. Because it's not based upon your reasoning or my reasoning or our logic and what makes sense and what's... No, many times you find that God's way, His ways are not our ways. Amen? And so sometimes you think the way up and you say, well, humble yourself. Right? And you see these paradoxes, if you will, within the Scriptures, and you find here that he says that the way, the end thereof are the ways of death. I think about the truth of Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, verses that many of us could quote this evening. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Those are verses that many of us tonight could quote. But it's not about being able to quote some verses of Scripture. It's about living the principle of the verses. And we find that he goes through the text in Proverbs 3 and gives us a whole number of things and areas in which we're to trust the Lord with. And it's impactful and powerful for us. And we find that that's exactly opposite of what the children of Israel were doing, according to what we read in Psalm 81. Proverbs 19, look what the Bible says in Proverbs 19. In Proverbs chapter 19, in verse number 21, the Bible says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, notice those last three words, that shall stand. I mentioned this on Sunday morning as we're going through the book of 2 Corinthians, and we were looking there at that first section of the 13th chapter as it wraps up, and Paul's talking about, I'm coming to you, this is the third time. And as he's talking about, listen, God's word doesn't change. The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And the Bible says that they walked in their own counsels. They didn't walk in the counsel of the Lord. Again, it wasn't a fact that they didn't know it or that they didn't have it. It's not that God didn't make it available. It was just simply that they didn't do it. They hearkened not. They chose not to listen to what God said, to obey and submit. They thought that there was a better way. How many times have you heard somebody say to you in some arena of life, well, there's a better way to do that? And sometimes we might sit back and maybe the circumstances allow for us to just sit back and let the individual find out the hard way that the way that I tried to instruct you is the way to do it. And they think there's a better way and we're going to let them learn. We're going to let them find out why we were doing it the way we were doing it. And sometimes in life, if we're not careful, we can look at the Scriptures, and how many times young people have this perspective, well, that's kind of an outdated approach or an outdated look, and there's a better way to do this now. I mean, we're in 2025, almost 2026. There's a better way. No, God's way is the best way. Amen? You can't improve on God's way. It's just not possible. Now, there are some things that we've been able to improve on through the centuries, and as you have technological advances and you can improve in certain things, and if you use the internet today, I'm sure that you're glad you don't have the dial-up that we had in 1999 and all of the nonsense of what was going on and all the doot-doot-doot-doot, and the kids, they don't even know what that stuff is, and you give them a rotary phone today and they don't know what to do with it, and how do you dial this thing, and so on and so forth. There's advances, okay? That's just temporal things. We start talking about eternal things. You can't improve upon God's Word. God's Word is perfect. God's Word not only is perfect, but God's Word it's for all time. The truth is that God's Word is relevant for every people in every generation. We even looked on Sunday morning how that Paul goes all the way back to the Old Testament law to apply a principle to the believers there in Corinth, and how we see that all of God's Word is applicable for us and it's relevant to us, and we understand that God has given to us His Word. As I look at Psalm 81 and I consider the truth that God gives us with regard to this summary of how His people responded and the pleading that God had for him, that He says in verse 8 that, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me." He told him in verse number 10, as we studied last week, "Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it." But then you notice, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." You know how destructive that was for the children of Israel? It reminds me, just reading these two verses of Scripture, it reminds me much of the period of the Judges. When the Bible says of that era of Israel's history, every man did that which was right in his own sight. Right? That's what the Scriptures tell us about the book of Judges. And you'll find in the book of Judges this vicious cycle that's repeated in the book of Judges. And it's that the people of God wanted nothing to do with God. They wanted to do their own thing. They didn't want to hearken to God. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to go their own way. They wanted to walk in their own counsels and do what they thought was best. And then before long, they would face great opposition. They would be under great oppression, and they would be really enslaved. And then what? Well, then they'd cry out to God. "Aren't you thankful that God's gracious and He's merciful? I'm so thankful." They would call out to God. They would cry out to God. And for a little while after God would raise up a judge and provide them with deliverance, there was a time in which maybe they would have a time of peace and they would live in some level of obedience to God's word. But before long, you would find that cycle repeated again. And as we begin to think about this commentary, if you will, for Israel and for their history, it saddens my heart. I can't imagine the heart of God in understanding, "I've given you this which is good for you, but you would not. You wanted nothing to do with me, so I gave you up." And then God watches them deal with all of the consequences of their own behavior, all of the adversities that they suffered because of their disobedience. The Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. God does chasten His children. He chastens for the purpose of restoration. And I'm reminded as we consider the truth for us as New Testament believers, as this is really a commentary of looking back and stating about how they behaved, I'm reminded of the truth for us of how we are to behave. Look, if you will, over at the book of 2 Peter quickly as we close this evening. And I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And in 2 Peter chapter number 1, as we consider this evening, this is the history of Israel in Psalm 81. The God of heaven is telling us what He provided for them, what He did for them, and how they responded. The history is written. Amen? You're not going to rewrite it. You can't rewrite history. People try to, and they're continuously trying to, but the history is there. We can read the Old Testament. We can see it. But I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter number 1 as we try to make application for ourselves, because Psalm 90 tells us that we live our days like a tale that is told. And so you have a story, and I have a story, if we could look at our lives, that's like a tale that's being told as we live our lives. The story of your life and the story of my life is being written right now. And at some point, the story of your life and the story of my life, there's going to be history. And I wonder, are they going to say they hearken to God or they hearken not? In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter is talking about an experience that he had. In verse number 16, he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, they had the privilege of being there and seeing and experiencing this. But Peter goes on in verse number 19 and he says this, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." And then notice these next words, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so we find that Peter is saying, listen, we heard the voice of God. And he did. We go back to the Gospels and we can read it. We can understand. Peter's referring to that great experience that he had at the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. Listen, there's people today that are looking for new prophecy, more prophecy, something different. God's given us what he's going to give us. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He's given to us all that he's going to give us. He's given to us the Bible. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And here Peter says, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." And then he says this. He uses really this analogy to help us to understand. He says, "As unto a light that shineth in a dark place." And I know I've used this example before as I've looked at this passage of Scripture, but the reality this evening is if we were to turn all of the lights off in this building tonight, it is dark outside. If we were to pull these shades and turn off all the lights, it'd be dark in here. I've walked through here at night when it's dark, and it's dark. And I guarantee you that if we turned on a light somewhere in this sanctuary, that everybody would look to where that light is without even really thinking about it. It's just a natural response. That light would turn on and we'd all look at that light. Have you ever been to the caverns? You ever go down there? And they take you down there in that tour and you see all those great things. That's so cool and so neat and whatever. And then they cut the lights off, right? They turn them off and they tell you, put your hand in front of it. You can't see it. Have you done it? I've been down there and I'm like, I think I can see my fingers. And I can't really, but I'm trying to get my brain to think I can see them, you know, and whatever. And then all of a sudden there's a light and your eyes are drawn to it. And Peter says in that same way, you do well, ye do well that ye take heed. What is that? Hearkening. It's hearkening. And God says of his people, they hearken not. He's not talking about the Gentile nations. He's not talking about lost people. He's talking about his people. And he says, my people, they would not hearken to my voice. This evening, I hope that all of us would resolve, it's not going to be said of me that I'm not going to hearken to God's word. God saved me. He loves me. Everything that he's given to me is for my benefit. Every word of this book is for my benefit. And I'm going to take heed. I'm going to follow. I'm going to obey. God, help me to follow you. Help me to obey you. Help me to be a doer of your word. Let it not be said of any one of us, as it was of those in Psalm 81, they hearken not to my voice. Let's pray. Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for giving us truth.